Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. By Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies, thanks to David Dubay for getting on board once again. Mark Greshner Photography, check out his outstanding work at markgreshner.com. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, Nathan and Landon. Window cleaning, pressure washing, and also gutter cleaning. Lots of great services offered there by the Boys Next Door. Check out their website, theboysnextdoor.ca. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Give Corey Zadorozniak a call out there at Double Z Ag Sales in the Weyburn area. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage getting the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champ, 502-5355, the number to call. And SAS Selects Football. Before we get to our guest, former Canadian CFL quarterback Julio Caravatta, time for Ballsy's Pick 6 for SAS Selects Football. Building the stars of tomorrow today. They're launching a 7-on-7 football program. Check out their Facebook page and website for the details. It will include junior varsity, varsity, and adult leagues. Number one in Ballsy's Pick 6, Robert Leonard recorded his first career playoff shutout, and the Vegas Golden Knights beat the Canucks 5-0 Sunday night in the first game of their second-round playoff series. Now, the Knights scored three times in the second period to put the game away. How about Marc-Andre Fleury and his agent? His agent put out a tweet with a sword going through the chest of the Golden Knights logo, basically referring to the fact that coach Peter DeBoers stabbed Fleury in the back. Now, Fleury said his agent was a little off base there, but he's a good guy and that he didn't mean any harm. He's just passionate about his client. Basically, what Fleury was admitting to in a roundabout way is he's the guy that okayed that tweet. Not cool. The Washington Capitals fired bench boss Todd Reirden after two seasons on the job. They were ousted in the first round of the playoffs both seasons. We have higher expectations for our team, and we felt a fresh approach and leadership was necessary, said their GM. Oh, yeah. You need a new approach, a fresh approach. We want to go in a different direction. Well, you did that when you didn't re-sign Barry Trotz, you know, the guy that won you the Stanley Cup. Never, ever, ever underestimate coaching. Number three in Ballsy's Pick 6, my favorite three athletes to watch in no particular order are Connor McDavid, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Luka Doncic. Tatis and the Padres have won 7 in a row. The San Diego Padres have 5 Grand Slams in their last 7 games. That's why I'm proudly repping the brown and yellow and orange Padres t-shirt today. And yes, I always was a fan. It's great that the Padres have a star once again in Tatis Jr. They really haven't had one since Tony Gwynn. By the way, Tatis Jr. swinging a hot stick and made 2 highlight reel plays in the field, including an over-the-shoulder catch in left field. He plays shortstop, folks. And Doncic had 43 points, 17 rebounds, and 13 assists, and hit a 30-footer at the buzzer to give the Mavs a 135-133 win over the Clippers in overtime to even that series at 2 apiece. And this brings me to point number 4 in Ballsy's Pick 6. On Friday, LA Clippers forward Montrezl Harrell, who is black, appeared to make a racially charged comment to white Doncic. Harrell appeared to call him a bitch-ass white boy. All Harrell did was apologize. If the shoe was on the other foot and Doncic did that, he'd be suspended. No questions asked. What a double standard. That is pathetic. Kicker Brett Lowther is opting out of his deal with the Rough Riders to try the NFL. He doesn't have an opportunity yet, but he wants to be free in case one opens up. He was due to be a free agent at the end of the season, so he's only opting out of a few thousand dollars. Great low-risk move by Lowther. He's going to join us on the podcast tomorrow. Now, if Liram Haralahu can get a chance in the NFL, Lowther, who I believe is a better kicker, can definitely do it. So just hang tight there, Brett. Hopefully an opportunity comes your way. And number six on Ballsy's Pick Six, a Mike Trout baseball card set a record on Saturday, becoming the highest-selling sports card of all time at a price tag of $3.936 million. The previous record was $3.12 million in 2016 for a 1909 Honus Wagner T206 card. The Trout card is one of a kind. It was in mint condition, rookie card, certified autograph. The auction started last month with an opening bid of $1 million. Now, the seller seems to have made a big-time profit. The card reportedly sold for $400,000 on eBay 2 years ago from a seller based in Taiwan. What did I do with my Wayne Gretzky rookie card? Well, I wanted to sound cool in the Glen Cairn area back in the day, so I put that rookie card in my spokes. Oh yeah, my BMX sounded great. I could have put a Blaine Stoughton card in there, but no, let's go with the Wayne Gretzky rookie. Time now for the extra point. I got a couple of stories in the extra point. Saskatoon High School football canceled their season. Regina, I'm sure to follow. I don't know why. Like, we're picking and choosing where we can get sick again. We can't get sick in a high school. Let all the kids go to high school with the teachers and everything, and I'm sure they're going to be socially distanced. Yeah, right. But we won't let them play sports. Like, this makes me shake my head. And 31 years ago on this day in 1989, baseball commish Bartlett Giamatti banned Cincinnati Reds legend and manager Pete Rose from the game for gambling. Tragically, that lifetime ban is still keeping Pete out of the Hall of Fame, but the Houston Astros basically got nothing for cheating to win the 2017 World Series. Get Rose in the Hall of Fame while he's still around to enjoy it.
Hi, this is Daryl from Butcher's Best. We'd like to thank all of our customers for the support over the last 17 years. It's been an awesome chapter in our life, but we are now closing and this is our final week. If you have gift cards to redeem, make sure you get it done by the end of the week because we are closing this Saturday, August 29th. For the last 17 years, Butcher's Best has been known for friendly faces and full counters, and we will continue to our last day. Even though we're closing, keep an eye out for us next summer.
Butcher's Best, 5552 Rochdale Boulevard. Let's speak to our old friend Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. I don't mean old, I mean longtime friend. So Julio...
I'm not too.
No, you're looking good. So Julio, as good as you can look through a radio, we're not doing a Zoom call here. Just your thoughts on what's been a bad week in the CFL, but not unexpected.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to put it. Not unexpected. I think everyone thought this was going to be the end result. I know there was a lot of optimism towards the end. I just couldn't see the league going into debt that much for a 6-game schedule. I just didn't see it. That would have been a lot of money and effort for such a short little window. So you know, I know it's disappointing for everybody. You know, there's a lot of lives that have been affected by this. The people who rely on the league to put a paycheck on the table and provide for their families. So you never want to see people, you know, go through that kind of hardship. But I really do hope, Michael, is that they take this opportunity to really kind of reset themselves and put themselves in a position where it's just not always doom and gloom, right?
Yeah,
we've seen this league go up and down and up and down. They need to find a way to bring a level of consistency where we're not talking about this, you know, every year with teams or, you know, one or two teams that are hurting and all this stuff. They need to come up with a business plan that makes sense for everybody, and hopefully they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, so I talked about this about an hour ago on the show, so I'll get your thoughts. Just what do you think needs to be done? To me, I'm talking to a guy that played quarterback in the CFL as a Canadian. You were an athlete. They looked at you in other areas, but you were a quarterback. You played quarterback in this league. I have a tough time believing we can't find the next Russ Jackson in a country of 30 million. And you might have a guy there in BC now, but we need to find that guy. I think we grow this league, new Canadians, which obviously in BC we have a lot of them. We got to introduce them to our game. The Riders in Football Saskatchewan have started to do a good job of that. Women, and we need to find me a superstar that we can market around at the most important position, quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with all those. I think the quarterback issue, I think we could probably spend, you know, an entire show on that issue. And we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not about giving anybody anything, but it's giving someone a chance, a legitimate chance, to be able to showcase their skills and not just judge them because they're Canadian. So that is something I agree, because I think a lot of people would rally around that and they'd be interested by that. But I think you make a really good point. I think that, and this is where the league needs to reset itself. And, you know, I think that this entire league, you know, every team is competitive. Everyone wants to win. But I think as far as the business plan that goes with this league has to be something that all the teams need to come together and come up with ways that they can be successful. Like, they've got to be able to put a business plan, and that means putting, you know, all the people that are in Saskatchewan, in Calgary, in Edmonton, all over the league, have them working together, coming up with new ideas, attracting new fans, like you said, bringing all those ideas to the table, and coming up with a plan that suits everybody. You know, I heard Rick LaLaussure, the president of the Lions, say the other day, and I think this is, you know, it's no secret. Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, right? They need to find ways to get to those markets. And you know, that's something I see here every day. And you know, I hate saying this because I love the people down there, and it's been a great place to go and watch games, especially when it was packed with 55,000 people. But the venue here in Vancouver is just not working, right? The young people don't want to go into a stadium and sit there and just be stagnant. Right, what you have in Saskatchewan is a perfect example. What they have in Ottawa, what they have in Hamilton, all those places,
Winnipeg, in
Edmonton now, in Winnipeg, all those places. That's where the future is in live sporting events. Is that you got to have that ability to be able to walk around and talk with your friends and
gambling
not just the person
beside
you.
Gambling,
yeah,
too.
Family,
you,
too.
You
exactly.
I should be able to get a hot dog, a beer, a Rams 50-50 ticket at Mosaic Stadium, and I should go do a prop bet on the Riders-BC Lions game right there. Who will throw for more yards, Riley or Fajardo? Who gets
exactly,
more yards
exactly.
receiving? And be able to cash it in right there. And we have to do things at the stadium, Julio, that are only stadium-specific, because I don't care how big a TV deal we get from TSN. We're still a gate-driven league, so we have to get people to come to the stadium, and we need to think outside the box.
Exactly.
Even in terms of football, the organization, the locker room when you played was sacred ground. Now, I don't agree maybe with what the XFL did, where they went right into the locker room and interviewed guys, but I think there should be access to the locker room with cameras and stuff, albeit, you know, nobody can be naked or anything like that, but there should be something that only the people at the stadium get to see.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because that's what's proving itself over and over again, is the fan nowadays, it's about that interactive. It's about that video game feel, right? You want to feel like you're right on top of it, and you're a part of an experience that you're not going to get at home, because you're right. The other thing you were talking about, you know, you bring in your family and being able to buy a hot dog and a beer. Well, it also has to be where you can go down there and not feel like you're blowing $500 to do those things, right? I'm like anybody else. I've got a young family. I go down to games. I go to Seattle and watch the Seahawks play, or I go to wherever to watch. I mean, I don't want to pay $10 for a beer. I'm not going to pay. I feel like I'm being taken.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, that experience too. Like, and the NFL is going to run into that as well. And you can see it everywhere. People are just. It's harder and harder for people to stretch a buck. So you've got to find ways to be able to get them in the stadium and make it affordable, so that they can enjoy the experience and feel like they're not being taken. Because ultimately, if they don't, they're going to stay home. Because that's where they can watch for nothing.
One way, Julio Caravata joining us here, outstanding commentator for the BC Lions, former quarterback, Canadian quarterback in this league. I like to pound that point home, because I think that's a way. No, but I think that's a way we can afford this, because get this. We're paying a lot of money for average Canadian offensive linemen, let's say, because coach has already come in with a preconceived notion that these guys are going to be my Canadians, and that's it. I can't look at a slot back. I can't look at a quarterback. I can only have the odd Andrew Harris. I think if the feds are going to help the league out, if I'm the feds, I'm saying, okay, but you got to protect Canadian content and increase Canadian content. I see no reason why we can't boost that ratio by two guys and then three guys and then four guys, because Canadians are going to play for Canadian dollars and probably not going to bitch about it. And that's no disrespect to Americans, because the two greatest riders in the history of the riders are Reed and Lancaster. They're Americans. I still believe in American players, but people say, because I always say this, Julio, I say, we can't pay quarterbacks like Mike Riley $600,000, $700,000. And then they say, well, what can we pay them? And I say, well, I don't know what we can pay them. Right now, I gave my son a car to go to the state so he had reliable transportation. I'm driving his beater around right now because that's what I can afford. I'd love to drive a Camaro, but I can't afford it. So I'd love to have Bo, Levi Mitchell, or Mike Riley, but I can't afford it. I don't know what the salaries are, but we're going to have to look at a total reset with everything. And I think Canadians are the way to go.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, as far as the reset on salaries, that's going to be a big issue, right? Because that's something that they need to get over, right? They have to come up with a business, because clearly the business plan isn't working, right? What they have in front of them right now isn't working. The fact that they're paying Mike Riley $700,000, Bo Levi Mitchell that, and then having to pay maybe one or two other guys the big money, and then everyone else is really slotted into just, you know, hey, we're just going to, this is all you're going to get. There has to be more of an equitable, that not only the players can be happy with, but the business side of it can be happy, that they're making money, right? Because ultimately it is a business. You got to be able to make money. Yeah. So you have to come up with a plan that does that. The other thing you said about the players, and this is one of the things that I think is there, you know, that I find is a big difference now is the turnover. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you see it from team to team. Like, I'd love to see them go back to where, you know, if you're an American and you play on a team for more than 5 or 6 years, that maybe you get non-import status where you become a national because you've committed yourself to that community. The team is committed to you. You're now going to stay there, bring up your family there, get a job there. All those things that provide that stability that people can, you know, say, hey, that is Ron Lancaster at the local, you know, breakfast place, because he stays here all year. I go up and talk to him, and I know who he is. And here I find, too, like, there's just so much turnover, and there's so much, like, you know, guys are, they're not sticking around as much. And I wish that they would find a way to keep these guys in their communities. And don't get me wrong, I know that there are guys, but you know what I'm trying to say, right? Find these guys jobs and find them so that they can bring their families up here and stay here.
To a point, I agree with you, Julio. Here's where I differ. I think you have to cap that at a certain amount of guys, because I don't want 12 Americans being considered Canadians. Because here's the thing. The way to grow this game, and the reason why the NBA is so big and the NHL and the NFL, it has to do a lot with money, because they feel they can make millions, even though realistically there's a one in snowball's chance of hell of you making pro football or pro hockey or NBA. But they have a dream. That kid in Mississippi has the same chance, the kid in California has the same chance, the kid in Alabama, to make those leagues. That's the dream. It's there, even if maybe it's a false narrative. Perception is everything. Right now in Canada, if you're not a lineman, maybe a backup middle linebacker, a wide side wideout, or a safety, forget it. Your dream is done. You can't think of running out of the tunnel. That generates interest. That's why high school kids, when I interview them, who's your favorite linebacker? Well, it's Luke Kuechly. Nobody's telling me it's Solomon Alamimian. I guarantee you that. And that's the problem the CFL has.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And that's something that needs to, again, those are the kinds of things that they need to round table and come up with ideas to make it work, because those are exactly the kinds of things that need to change in order for this league to be viable going into the future, right? Like, I mean, and I really do hope, like, this was devastating for the CFL. I don't have to tell you that. And I don't have to tell the great fans in Saskatchewan that. They you know, I mean, they're as passionate fan bases anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. But this league needs to be able to sit down and ask itself some hard questions and come up with some you know, answers that are going to sustain this league going forward, so that we're not always having to come back and revisit this thing where we've got, you know, 9-10 teams that are viable, that are strong businesses that people want to get involved in, that we can attract, you know, good business people and good marketing people and sales people, because, you know, they you know, you're not hiring, you know, an 18 or 19 year old kid out of high school because he's looking for a job and you're paying him next to nothing to sell. You know, I mean, how passionate is that guy going to be?
Yeah, no, right? You're 100% right. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you have to find that, right? And this is where the league needs to find some answers, right? And hopefully, like, I know that they were talking about the reset. that they all get together and they come up with some really, you know, good solutions moving forward for this great league, because we know the history, we know what it brings, we know how exciting and entertaining it can be, and that's what we need to be able to do, is concentrate on the football and not ask always ourselves about the business side of it.
Okay, give me the honest answer in your opinion here as we wrap up. So I've made my pitch for Canadians, and I always do, and I love Canada. Mm-hmm. I love United States guys too, but I really think that's the way to go. But when I pitch that idea, people get on me on social media and say, well, it might work in the prairies, but grassroots football, that type of deal, won't work in BC, it won't work in Toronto, it won't work in Montreal. They want bigger is better. Do you think a grassroots approach to some extent, like I just outline for you, could work in BC? I believe it can. I just think it's got to be marketed, because here's how I feel. I feel the average fan, and this is where the CFL can capitalize, the average fan, Julio Caravata would know the difference between the third cornerback from Clemson trying out for the team or the corner from Laval trying out for the team. But the average fan sitting in section 505, he's not going to know the difference if you market it right. Because if everybody's playing by the same rules, it's the same football. So perception's everything, and facts are negotiable.
Well, here's the point, though, too. Now, I don't have to tell you, because I know what the answer is, that you're not only watching the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You're watching high school. Mm-hmm. You're watching college, because college football there and junior football there is getting its attention, right?
Yeah.
The province knows who the good college players are. Right? It's a big problem here, because, you know, with the national way that they broadcast sports now, that's one of the things that I think that's missing here in BC, is that we don't know who any of these amateurs are. Mm-hmm. I watch the news every day here. I don't see any features on who the next great football player is coming out of UBC or out of SFU. We don't know anybody. Like, and it's not just that. It's all amateur sports. So we've lost that. So people here, they don't know who any of these guys are, because they've never heard of them. Mm-hmm. It used to be back in the day when we had local sports, like we hear out here in BC, we had Sports Page. And at 11 o'clock, everybody tuned into Sports Page, because not only were you getting the Canucks and Lions and all the professional stuff, but you were getting that feature on the kid who was up at SFU, who was not only a great football player, but maybe he was a wrestler, or the wrestler that was going to the Olympics, or the swimmer that was going to the Olympics. No one, I don't know who any of these kids are, because they don't get any kind of notoriety, because everything's at a national level. Mm-hmm. Right, and especially in the big cities, we're seeing that more and more, that it's everything comes out of Toronto, right? If you're watching TSN, if you're watching Rogers Sports, now you get a place where, like in Saskatchewan, where, you know, that local flavor, you guys are always piping the university teams and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what you need to be able to do. But here, we just don't find that. It's just the bigger city is they want the bigger story, they want the national story. And we're missing out on so many of these young, fantastic amateur athletes that not just football, but every single sport that nobody knows, because no one hears of them, because no one writes about them, and no one puts them on television to find out who they are.
Yeah, we need collaboration, not only amongst the players and the owners, but at different levels of football for sure as
exactly
well.
Exactly right.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly right. Hey, Julio, thanks for this. Enjoy your summer, which what would be the first summer you've had off from CFL football, and how long?
Well, from broadcasting, it's 22 years, and from playing, so this is the first summer, I think, in over 30 years that I've ever had to myself and my family. So I won't lie, you know, that part of it has been fantastic. I do miss the football, but being able to enjoy a summer with my family has been something I'm not going to soon forget.
Well, thanks for 16 minutes of your time. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Ballsy.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.